Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and everything to do with children. Danielle Ochieng is my name. I'm an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession, and I work with kids all ages, 0 to 18 plus years, but I like to focus on the early years because that is the foundation of everything about children. I know right now is really the time where I'm like drum rolls and give a did you know fact, but that's going to come later in the podcast. Right now, I want us to just build a foundation of where I'm going. Yeah. So do you remember when younger saying these words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. So should we debunk it or do I leave you in peace? Yeah. If you chose peace, I'm sorry. I am here to debunk that myth. With today's topic, it runs really deep. Words that wound. And it's those kind of topics that actually pierce to the bone and marrow. Well, at least for me, you know, the times I'll be handling easier topics and then the times I'll be handling stuff and I'm like, ooh, wow, okay, let's do this, you know? So I'll be giving stories and experiments done to emphasize my point. So please stay with me till the end. I'll start with a famous myth from the Solomon Islands of the Pacific. So it was said that when the islanders of the place wanted to cut down an enormous tree and it was proving difficult to chop down, they would perform a special kind of curse, like yes, C-U-R-S-E. So according to the myth, the people of the Solomon Islands would yell and say negative things at the top of their voices to the stubborn tree. And as a result of this negative energy transmitted to the tree would fall down and die in a matter of days. So obviously, I mean, there are scientists who, when they cannot explain using formulas and chemicals, will dispute and disregard it, but the locals believe it. And my question and concern today is, can we actually prove it? So there are many studies and experiments done on plants in which the same plants were placed in three separate rooms. In one room, kind words were spoken to the plant. In the second one, harsh words. And in the third one, there was pin drop silence. So the results show that the plants which were exposed to kind words grew more than the other two. What does this show? I think it just proves that words are important. They affect all living creatures, and if they can affect plants, imagine the impact they would have on humans, on our children, whether they're young or they're teenagers or they're adults. And by the way, these experiments have been done severally. It's the same thing with music. Words and the mood and the tone in which they're spoken do make a huge difference. So it is time for another trip down memory lane. Yes, I like to do this because it helps me to help us put ourselves in our children's shoes, because we then get to remember what it felt like when it happened to us and see if we want the same for our children. So it just helps us empathize and sympathize with them. So I want us to take a moment of silence to recall some words that were said to us as children or as teens, even as adults, by our parents or any other adults that really broke us. Words that after so many years still hurt us. Words that make us feel less than worthy, that discourage us from reaching our life goals, or even made us thinking of hurting ourselves because we didn't feel worth it. Yes, an actual moment of silence. Okay, because I have to go on with my podcast, I don't think it should be that difficult to think of words that easily come to our mind of things that were said that really hurt us. And in line with this, I actually got people to tell me some of the hurtful things that their parents or other adults have ever told them or done to them, or things that made them feel insecure or less of a person, because I think that's what sometimes these words make us feel, less of a human being. And before I play these audios, I would really want to say thank you to each one of you who agreed to be part of this. Thank you for enabling us and everybody else who's going to listen to this actually see the impact of words.
I remember when I was younger, there was a day I was not nagging. Okay, well, I think I was feeling a little bit lonely and not to the attention from my mom. And I told her, I was like, I have a headache, you know, nee, 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 nee. And then my mom retorted with, not everyone has to know your problems. Well, okay, granted, I didn't really have a headache. You know, I just wanted attention. And maybe she was stressed about one or two other things, like she was not fully present in the moment. But for my young mind, as a young girl who really wanted, I think, a moment with her mother, that one comment, I don't know why it was that specific one comment, because it's not like parents don't often lose their temper with their kids, but like for some reason, I think I was in a very vulnerable place at the time, and for some reason that one comment stuck with me. And in that moment I decided, like, the walls came up, because I used to be very open and very, I didn't hide my feelings. Let me put it like that. I didn't hide my feelings. But I remember, I feel like that was the exact day something in me, not because the situation was that serious, so I don't know exactly what it was, but just something in me clicked. And it was like, okay, if you don't know about whatever is going on with me now, then I'm not going to let you in. Ever. And it's like walls just sprouted up. So I think that's one of the things that really, the other things that have stuck with me, but I think that that statement was a genesis to me becoming more, okay, well, I'm going to be independent, I'm going to deal with my own problems. And I was really young, I was not even 10 yet, I think, and the walls came up. And it took a very long time for those walls to come down, for me to be able to share my issues with other people, even my parents, because my parents will be like, Ati, you know, we're your best friends, we always want to help you, want to know when you have a problem, you can come to us with anything. But then when you think about it, but that one time, that one time I came to you and you told me not everyone needed to know my problems. And so now I've been handling my problems ever since. So even now when I have issues, I usually go to my parents, not because I can't trust them or anything, but just because I've been used to, and I conditioned myself from a very young age to handle my things on my own. Yeah, that's my story.
So some of the negative comments that have hurt us before is when your parent says something like, I think you're so stupid, or you're ever disappointed, you're so thick, I think I'm wasting my money paying you school fees, your younger brother or sister is far smarter than you, you'll never please me or make me happy, I can't imagine you're my child, you're letting this family down, your mom and I are ever embarrassed of you. Oh, that's bad.
There are probably two very vivid situations I can remember. You know, back then growing up, literally every older person was your sort of your legal guardian. So the community was raising you. So anybody was in the position to reprimand and punish you for, you know, any wrongdoing or any mischievousness. So situations where we would go for shopping, or if you happen to be taken to like Splash or like Nairobi Show back then, and you're fooling about and you go and you get stuck at a stall, or you get stuck on that one packet of crisps, and you're told, if you don't leave there, I'm going to leave you here, you know. You know, slowly I feel those kind of things, if you look back, you're very afraid of getting left behind, so you do all that you can not to be in that position again with your parents, you know. And another situation would be when you go either visiting your parents, family, friends, or even like school. I remember in preschool, we used to be told you are to be seen and not to be heard, you know. So the only time you're allowed to open your mouth and speak is when somebody has spoken to you, directly to you. So, and I noticed some of those things, some of those traits would come up even now, when I'm much, much older. Some, you know, isolated situations here and there where I would not speak unless someone is directly addressing me or needs my opinion on something. So there's definitely a lot of things that have changed, and we're learning new ways to communicate to our parents, and also the way our parents should also communicate to their own to us as their children, you know. That's probably my general take on it, as per my own experience.
The biggest term was how they expressed disappointment in us. Also, comments about how, like, things that invested in our insecurities. Like, for example, if I didn't like my hair and then my mom said that your hair ni ndengu. So you see that enforces my insecurity. And like it's just things about your features that you don't forget even to your adulthood. For me, what I would say as a child that I still remember was about my grades and failing. Like it made me be very lax about my grades. And the fact that I was constantly compared with other people just made me feel like there's no point, because deep down, because how they react to your failure, you just become, I guess, accustomed to it, and it hurts, and you get tired of proving them wrong and them eliminating your effort, or, you know, throwing it off just because it's not the same as your siblings or it's not what they expect you to do. And also, like, when you are different, you are lined up to be the same with your siblings. Like, for example, for me, I was very different from all my siblings. The fact that I went to a private school, so the expectation was higher, and how they expressed their disappointment was harder for me. And, you know, always it was your sisters went to, you know, you're privileged and you're not even using your brain. Things like insults that already as a child you're insecure about, and you're aware that those things make you different. Yeah,
my childhood was a very interesting one. I really look back and I just smile and thank the Lord. I think I used to have my love-hate moments with my mom. Being a cheeky boy, she used to really scold me most of the time, especially when I did mess up. And in such occasions, that's when she could call me names. So I was so used to being called such when I messed up. I just knew that, hey, if I mess up, when I'll be beaten, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be beaten and also called. Besides being a cheeky boy, and also the king of Mchongo Ano in my clique, we used to abuse one another, say bad things to each other. So, you know, it's like, it just was normal. The relationship, especially for my dad and my sibling. I remember one occasion with my elder sister. My elder sister was not gifted, I could say. She had a learning disability. So my dad could come home and just calling her hopeless and other names. And I tend to think it affected her because her self-esteem then was not so maybe what we could wish for. So any other time she did poorly in class, daddy could come home and like, now look at this girl, I'm paying this much, you're doing this little, and this vicious circle could continue. I feel like if my parents could have done it better, things could have turned out to be different. Yeah, because for my two elder sisters, I see that perhaps even now, their self-esteem is not as it should be from my side, because sometimes they are very shy. They really don't want to do their best. They don't want to put their best foot forward. And perhaps looking back, I'm like, oh, if our parents could have done this and maybe tried to encourage them at a younger age, because growing then was like, if you don't do the best, then that's the end of you. When I look back, I don't just want to be a good daddy or a good parent. I really want to talk to my children, listen to them, and help them to grow in whatever they do. And I think that is the most important thing in life.
It's not something they've said, but it's something they do. When I'm trying to do something that I learned, maybe from them, and they help me in doing it, they check whether I'm doing it right. What that does is I don't feel they're confident enough in me to actually do what I'm supposed to do.
This happened during a season where I wasn't getting along with my sister. She was young, you know, and you know how like young kids just, they want to play with you all the time. They want to do
everything and anything with you. I felt she was clingy. She always wanted to be by my side. It was annoying. I wanted to do my own thing. She was all over the place. And I'm just like, dude, I don't, like, how am I relating with you? You're like five. Like, so it was a very, like, it wasn't a good period. So I remember, I think my sister was crying about it. She was crying. She was asking my mom, like, why doesn't Dana like me? Why is Dana mean to me? And then I don't remember what ended up leading up to this, but I just remember my mom telling me, you're very selfish, Dana. You're very selfish. And that stuck with me for such a long time. Like, I used that as a foundation to judge, am I acting selfishly or not, you know? And I'd probably always try to put other people above myself or above my own needs, even if putting them above myself means, like, I don't say hurting myself for dishonoring my own boundaries, you know, as long as someone doesn't see me as selfish, you know, like, the cost is fine, like, I'll take the cost. So I think subconsciously that plays a big part in making decisions, or, you know, just deciding whether to do something or stay somewhere, and just always judging it on the basis of, will someone find me selfish, you know? And some could argue that it goes two ways, in the sense that, you know, it's made me more self-aware. But I think in that time, it really, really hurt me, because I was, you know, you're young, you're still trying to discover yourself, you don't know yourself, you know, so the word selfish was so, it came out so harsh, and it made me doubt so much about the person I thought I was, and so much about, you know, the person, you know, that I thought I was with people, because I'd never had that word being used to describe me. And it completely just, I think, shattered everything that I thought I was, you know, to the point where I was like, damn, do I even know myself? Yeah.
Okay, we're back. I don't know if we can relate to some of those words, either having had them being told to us, or we having said them to somebody, especially our children. And the thing is that words wound children in different ways, also greatly affected by their personality. By the way, the people you've just heard from are mostly talking about experiences from their childhood, some of which are like 15, 20 plus years ago, yet to date still affect them. You know, seeing how parents highlighted their physical insecurities to a point where their self-esteem was dragged in the dirt. And even as adults, when they look at themselves in a mirror, you just cannot seem to see past those insecurities that your parents highlighted when you were a child. To the parents who embarrassed and pointed out their child's academic weaknesses, making them believe and live as failures. And just like that, their self-esteem was void. To her who was called selfish, which made her sacrifice her well-being and so that nobody gets to see her and label her as selfish. And I know one that obviously we all, many of kids go through, is just this academic comparison or being called names and being embarrassed. And I don't know, like, for me, it was the one time I was told that if you don't do well, if you fail, you can go and be somebody's maid and I have nothing to do with you. I just couldn't. The people who share these things, actually people very close to me, also just seeing the impact it has, and, like, you know, knowing it's there, but then just listening to the impact. Okay, I don't know, I'm hoping you're getting my point of how tough words are, and how when we say these things to our children, we are building them for a lifetime. Some manage to overcome it when they figure out that, oh my goodness, this is as a result of what I was told. But some of us never get out of that space. And we live our lives as failures. We live our lives as useless. We live our lives as sacrificing for everybody else. Anyway, who cares? My parents didn't see the value in me. Why should anybody else? Why should I? One of the things I'm trying to get across is that our children, teens, are young and are trying to discover who they are. They're trying to find out where they fit in this world with all the confusions that are going on in this world. And our words will define who they ultimately become and their decisions, whether they're good or bad. With the Kardashians out there and the Kanye Wests and, well, that's the same family. and the Drogbas, like, the people are living lives of children and our teens are looking at these people and are looking at themselves and saying, I'm not even worth it. You know, like the person who was told, you're not even as beautiful as you think you are, or their physical features being made less and making them feel like they're probably the ugliest human beings. Trust me, I have seen the most handsome and most gorgeous people, like literally wow kind of people, who think the worst of themselves, who have attempted to hurt themselves, like actually have cuts on their hands, simply because their parents when they were younger told them they were not good looking. And they never got that affirmity. And to date are trying to live with it. Some are going through counselors because of it. It's deep. I don't know. Like, I'm just hoping, oh my goodness, I'm really hoping we're getting the impact of our words. You know what? Right now I think is when I should bring the drum rolls. So drum rolls. So Forbes in 2012 recorded that, and I quote, by the time a child is 8 years old, he's typically told 7 times more negative messages than positive messages. Imagine that. It's not hard to believe. That's just the world we live in. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why I'm here to talk about it. Actually, I want us to take us to some other research that was done by a Japanese scientist and a water researcher, Dr. Masaru Emoto, who revealed that the thoughts and vibrations affect the molecular structure of water. So he studied water for many years, and he used some high-speed photography of water crystals, and he used something called an MRA, which is a vibration measuring device to record emotional vibrations in humans. So what he observed was that the water reacts to the sound vibrations. The crystals of water that were formed through words of love and gratitude formed beautiful geometric shapes, as long as those words were spoken next to that water. But when evil words were uttered near another sample of water taken from the same source, the crystals smashed. They turned into distorted shapes. I mean, you can actually Google the pictures of the crystals. I did, and I was like, wow. The beauty of the shapes formed by the crystals that had good and affectionate words spoken to them, it's phenomenal. Like, nature is just phenomenal. And then the ones that were formed, and what happened to those that negativity was spoken, wow. As in, I actually just tell you, go look at it so that you can see the impact of words. His research actually also showed that water has memory. You can find all these things out, by the way, and its effect on things. For instance, plants, trees, and above all, human beings. And why do I have to point out this research and also put the fact that human beings are also affected? Look at it this way. The human body contains 70% water. The water inside our bodies react accordingly. Because now Dr. Moto's research provides enough evidence for that. And his research brings me back to what I was talking about, the Solomon Islands, the so-called myth. What do you think about it now? Words have life. We speak of words. You even hear motivational speakers and pastors and everybody mentioning your words have life. And that's the same thing. You know what? One thing I love is that the world has shown us how deep words go, whether it's through science, through nature, everything, into affecting life in itself. And the Bible is also full of words that tell us about the same thing, emphasizing the same principles. One scripture that I like a lot, Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Why am I reading this one out? It's because I'm wondering if we, and actually begging that we practice to speak words to our children that only build and benefit them, even if it's correcting them, because this is not, doesn't mean you don't correct them, but even if you're correcting them, let's correct them with love. Proverbs 15:4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Are you living with a crushed spirit because of the words that were said to or about you? And don't you want to change that narrative for your children, your neighbor's children, your nieces and nephews, or your grandchildren, or whoever you're going to come into contact with? And Proverbs 12:18, that says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. This verse is not only for us and our children, but everyone we interact with. Are we healing or killing people? And I promise this is my last one, Proverbs 4:23, and I decided to end with this because it says, above everything else, guard your heart, because from it flows the springs of life. Why did I choose this one? It's because how do we expect our children to overflow with life when their hearts have been filled with damaging words? The messages our children hear about themselves from others can quickly become their reality and translate into how they feel about themselves, and it tears down their self-esteem. It impacts how they treat themselves or their lives. And the saddest thing is that these words live with us forever. You know, some people say, I got used to it, nilizoea. But trust me, trust science, trust the universe, trust the people of the Solomon Islands, that negative words wound. And you may quote unquote get used to it, but it doesn't negate the fact that they hurt. They influenced you in one way or another. Sometimes you're not able to see it, but most likely people around you have. They don't know it's the words, but they know there's, hey, so-and-so reacts like this or behaves like this. And it's usually something that happened or was said. So as I close out, there are chances of us having spoken hurtful words to our children or those around us. And that isn't the end of it. And it doesn't mean we are bad parents. In fact, I was talking to one of my friends and he was telling me as we were discussing that the reality is, and we both agreed, is our parents raised us the way they knew best. They didn't know it was not supposed to be this way or this is affecting people. And we tend to do the same for our children. We raise them the way our children were, the way our parents raised us. And that brings a whole aspect of not necessarily understanding what the impacts of words or deeds can do, because like, I may have turned out fine. Question is, did we really turn out fine? And it's never too late to change. Even to your adult children, it's never too late to change. We can apologize for the words we said. Like, I mean actually apologizing and being very specific with the words that you said. Like, for example, get to your child, teen, baby, adult. You know, like, I called you foolish and good for nothing the other day, and I am sorry. I was out of line, and there's nothing wrong with you, and you have everything within you to be the best you can, and I'm here to support you. Something like that. But we have to be very specific. Not, I'm sorry for what I told you the other day. What did you tell me? You've told me a lot of words in 24 hours. Kwanzaa, with this quarantine period, what is it specifically? Be very specific, vulnerable with your children, and know that we make the mistakes and it's never too late to change them, because we don't want to raise broken people, because hurt people hurt people. Like, instead of harsh words, how about the focus is on what they need to do better next time? Like, if the results come out and they do not perform as well as you expected, first of all, find that it's probably not their stronghold. That's what I keep saying. Academics and passing in academics is not for everybody. A's are not for everybody, okay? And it's fine. Like, unless you know there's something really wrong, like maybe they're sick or there's something affecting them psychologically that their performance is being affected, then you can talk that out. But academics is not for everybody. You know what? How about instead of focusing on that, start with, you know, because I've heard of your parents saying, like, how could you fail in English and you speak it every day? Like, why not focus on the class teacher's comment of how they're well-behaved and obedient, or the sports teacher's comment on how much effort they have put into being a good team player or a better striker, or even at home, how their room is more tidy. Then you can move on to ask, are you experiencing any challenges with certain subjects and how can I support you? Like, imagine the difference that will work compared to you foolish nini. Your brother and sister have been doing this. Your cousins are working like this. So-and-so's child in church is doing this. My boss is nini. No, like, we already go through a lot as children and teenagers and young adults. And as human beings as general, we don't want to be reminded of what somebody else is doing better than we are. We don't want to live with that pain and the regret and the hurt for the rest of our lives and think that there's nothing good that can come out of us. Let's focus on what's positive in our children. Look at it from the positive angle as much as you can. Like, just work through it. It's not impossible. We've all been victims or perpetrators of hurtful words, and we're all working to change that narrative. And that's my prayer and my deep desire, because as I say, I work with children of all ages. And trust me, you can note low self-esteem in children from 3 years going upwards. You can see it even in adults, grown-ups, even successful. Like, I'm telling you, CEOs and directors, you can tell people with low self-esteem. I was actually doing a paper about it, but I think I should handle that in the next episode. But we need to work to change that narrative, because we want to be better for our children, want to be better for those we interact with. It's not easy, but impossibility only exists in our minds, and we can change it. I'm really begging, like, the teens I have worked with, or the younger children that I've worked with, who you tell to do something, like, I can't do it, and you're like, but you're doing it well. They're like, no, nobody even believes that. Like, it breaks my heart every time to see these kind of things. And also listen to testimonies of grown-ups who are like this, or interact with people who have low self-esteem. It's really hard, but usually for me, it's the children and the teens that I work with. And trying to imagine how to, when I'm trying to work on building their self-esteem, it's not an easy thing, but the number of children who I will might never ever reach, but you can, through sharing this podcast, through as a parent, you know, or talking to others, let's just change this narrative. So, like, thank you. Thanks for listening and journeying with me through today's podcast. Share it with as many as you can so we can save a generation of hearts, minds, self-esteems, and abilities. Remember, like Pam Leo says, you can't teach children to behave better by making them feel worse. When children feel better, they behave better. Bye.